I love the idea that he hears all that, he soaks it all in, and it's such a powerful moment where he finally sees that some of the things that he's been thinking and saying about black people all these years are problematic, and he goes back to his jail cell, he sits on his bed, and Bill Cosby goes, damn, maybe I did really rape those women.
Just like a humble comic guy moment. I'm just like, fuck, I really messed up, man. God.
Maybe I am a monster. There it is. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another phenomenal episode of My Mama Told Me, the podcast where we dive deep into the pockets of black conspiracy theories, and we finally work to prove that Tim Duncan is a screamer in the bedroom. Sure, the man was quiet his entire career, 5 championships, and he never said a word out loud, but you get Tim Duncan's legs over his head, and that motherfucker gonna scream. I believe it. I'm going to sell t-shirts that say Tim Duncan's a screamer in the bedroom. That's just something I'm passionate about. That's a little side project I'm working on. As always, I am your host, Langston Kerman, and it is December 22nd, the day after we were supposed to get our superpowers. Black people, we were supposed to get our superpowers, and I still can't touch my toes. I have no ability to reach down to my toes. Now, if I did get a superpower like I was promised, it has nothing to do with toe touching. I have not figured out yet what my superpower is. I was expecting my 40 acres and a mule type strength. It is not kicked in yet. Please, if anyone knows what's going on with my superpowers, please send a message to me. I would love to be able to do some cool black shit, like, I don't know, dunk. I can't do that. I'd like to dunk. I don't even need fucking superpowers. Just let me dunk. I don't know who I'm talking to at this point. I don't know if I'm asking the girl who made up the black superpower conspiracy theory, or if this is just me crying out to Jesus. If I'm saying, dear Jesus, for Christmas, I'd like to dunk. I don't know. I'm 33 and I need to grow up. Either way, we ain't getting no superpowers, and that bitch was lying. That has nothing to do with the podcast. Sometimes you just got to share shit out loud so it doesn't feel like you're alone out in this world. But you know who's not alone out in this world? It's my guest today. He's got friends. He's got shit going on. He's a powerful man in the comedy industry. He's so funny. He's phenomenal. I love him so much. You know him from Solar Opposites. He was a writer on Solar Opposites. He's a writer on Star Trek Lower Decks. He is a hilarious comedian who you've seen on Comedy Central. Give it up for my friend, Mr. Garrick Bernard.
How you guys doing? What's going on out there in the crowd?
Yeah, oh, the crowd loves you.
They love
it. They're hot today.
They are.
What are your thoughts on Tim Duncan getting them screams out?
I think you're right, bro. I think that Tim Duncan also can, that's how he won all those championships, is by putting his knees at his ears. You know, you can only hit backboard if you can fucking put your knees behind your ears. Like, that's it. That's where you get the
backboard. He stayed nimble. He kept it loose in the bedroom, and that kept him.
That's obviously a man who is a pro in geometry. He knows his angles, and he knows this is where you get the spot. You got to get you.
That's how you make old Timmy feel good.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, Tim Dunkey. Tim Dunkey Donuts. Yes, sir.
I just love the idea that because we all have some shit that helps us get our repression out, right?
Yeah.
We all have a thing. And by all accounts, Tim Duncan has been completely silent as a human
being
for over 2 decades, 3 decades really, of like watching him on television. So there's gotta be something weird he's into.
That's why his whole outfit always, all of his outfits always fit weirdly, because he needs that extra breathing room.
Leg room to
get loose, get wild, get wild inside.
You're a wild boy, Tim Duncan. Please come on the podcast. We want to talk about it. Well, we can't talk about that anymore today because you brought a conspiracy theory that I think is maybe one of the first conspiracy theories that I ever bought into as a child. Yes. That I ever genuinely, I think I believed or at least thought to be real in the world. And you said, my mama told me.
Sagging your pants is gay.
100%. Like, that was tried and true, just the go-to one that everybody just believed. Every adult, every barbershop, everybody was just like, nah, sagging your pants, that means that you were in prison, you went to prison, and at some point, you sagged your pants, and everybody was like, oh, that nigga's available. Like, that booty is available. That's it for me. I need it. I'm going to go get it, you know?
That shop is open for business.
For business, you know? No mask needed. I'm in there.
Okay. This is fascinating because you framed it in a way, and the way that you just said it was that you go to jail and then you become available. You start to lower your pants, you sag your pants, and then you're open for business. Is that how you originally understood it?
Yeah, that's through my pre-internet deep dives. Everybody was saying, like, just the rumor mill was saying, yo, you go to jail, you know, like, if you sag your pants, that's your way of letting the world know, the jail world know, that you were ready. Like, it was some kind of, like, weird open door policy where it's just like, let's do it. I'm good to go.
Prison doesn't teach people healthy communication.
No.
And so you learn signals in prison. And one of the signals apparently for coming out is showing your ass crack to another human being.
Yes, sir.
Where were you or how old were you when you feel like this theory came into your life?
I think this had to be like 13. So there were two instances. It's, you know, your first instance where your mom is just like, all right, you're starting to enter into adulthood. Or slowly like creep into it. So here are the rules, you know, no fucking in my house, you know, and don't sag your pants. Like,
I feel like that's every black mother's first
100%.
Rule. That was certainly what my mom told me was like, hey, I don't care what you do. You ain't going to have sex. I'm me and your stepfather, the only ones that have sex in here.
Yeah,
and
that's
she
it.
She had other men who after she divorced my stepfather, who she also had sex with.
And good for her. Good for her for having the revolving door dick come through. Because
Wait a minute. It wasn't revolving.
Ooh, oh shit. we're starting to uncover some layers.
How
I'm so
dare
sorry.
You?
I'm so
Wanda
sorry.
Wanda is a saint. A saint who's been married 4 times, but a saint all the same.
And I am proud of her for either way she went. I'm so sorry. But no, it was you cannot have sex in the house. Try not to, you know, have a girlfriend too soon, all of that stuff. And it was nice. But everybody was saying, don't sag your pants. Like, from uncles to aunts, everybody. My family's Caribbean also. So, like, they were trying to avoid any type of gay inkling or anything like that. They're very homophobic over there on that side of the...
I was about to say, nobody has mastered homophobia better than people of the Caribbean.
Oh, my God. They're so good at it that they look very gay and still argue that they are not gay. I have an uncle that will wear the most flamboyant shit and then just be like, nah, I'll beat your ass if you bring another man over this house. I'm like, bro... He got a fishnet fucking shirt on. Nipples are hella out. And I'm just like, what's going on over here? Whatever.
Imagine sucking your teeth at the gay pride parade while wearing a mesh tank top. That doesn't even make sense, but they find a way.
They find a way. Oh, man. Like, in that community, their whole word for gay people is anti-man. So, like, it's literally translates to anti-man. And that's the most disrespectful thing I've ever heard in my life. It's funny, but it's disrespectful. I don't know. They're so weird, and they have such, like, a lot of them just need to come out of the closet so they stop fighting each other. But
yeah,
right.
I mean, I think to your point, so much of homophobia is rooted in like. Suppressed feelings.
Yeah.
Some of which is like, oh, you're gay and you're struggling with that. And so you learn to outwardly hate the thing. But other parts of it is like, you're more complicated than gay or straight. You've
right.
had both of these feelings, or you've right. been attracted to things that, like you said, this motherfucker's in a mesh tank top.
Right.
That ain't heteronormative by right. any traditional standards.
Yeah.
So you like certain gay things, but you don't like the associations, and therefore you'll try to murder anything that like right, makes right. you feel uncomfortable.
It's a very like, there is no spectrum. It is black and white for them. It's just like, nah, man, there's shades of gray in there. It's cool to dabble on one side or the other, yeah. you know? Don't be mad at yourself. But I don't know, like, anytime I see them at like carnival or anything like that, and they're just wearing like the most like flamboyant thong, basically.
Yeah, you got a thong and peacock feathers on. Talking
right.
about
talking
you don't
about,
want no auntie mine around
right.
you.
It's just like, dog, what are you doing? Like, we got to talk about this. So, okay, that was the moment at like 13 or, yep. or whatever, having like uncles come through and all that stuff. But the other moment was in high school, where I was just like, I was already on the fence about the whole theory. People were just like, oh yeah, they're bringing in the jail stuff. And they're bringing in, at this point, they're bringing in the fact that like, you don't get belts in jail. So yeah. you're just like, yeah. oh, they're a little loose, you know? So your pants are down and all that stuff. So I'm like, there's some validity coming out. And then I was running track at Palisades High School, and they were dedicating their track to Carl Lewis, the great 400 meter sprinter.
Yeah.
And I was sagging at the time. And Carl Lewis, this like, I don't know, he's like 6'3", 6'4". He looked tall as shit from my like short perspective, comes up to me. Mind you, very flamboyant man, where I'm just like, all right, you might be hiding a little something
yeah.
over there, man. Coming up to me and saying, hey, you know that if you sag, that means you're gay or something
Whoa.
Like that. Or, like, and I'm just like, yo, dog, I don't know you, bro. Like, I don't
Whoa.
Know you at all.
You got sag shamed by Carl
like,
Lewis.
The great Carl Lewis, gold medalist, gold Olympic medalist, Carl Lewis. I got slut shamed by Carl. And, like, and I'm just like, this is like prime jerk movement, you know, like everybody's wearing checkerboarded fucking skinny jeans,
yeah.
you know, the skinny, nobody knew what skinny jeans were at that point in time. So you're like, honestly, like you're wearing girls' pants and
yeah.
they're not long enough. All you wanted was like the scrunch at the bottom or whatever, and for it to be a little tighter. So you sag them. You sag them
right.
a good amount, right?
And when you're in high school, I think even more to that point, when you're in high school, you don't know that pants come in different, like, length cuts.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, you're just like, all right, I'm a 32. I'm going
yeah.
to buy some 32s, but then you realize
pants.
You bought some 32 28s.
Right.
And so now you got these little-ass pants
yeah.
on, so you're going to sag them
you
to make them.
You got
to
bring them bitches yeah. down. You know, you got to bring them a little loose, because you're not going to be, like, flooded in school or whatever. Like, I
right.
mean, the, you know, the calf raised pants are in now, I guess, but, you know, joggers
nah, not
and all
when,
that shit.
Not certainly
then.
Not when I was in high school, absolutely. Even when you were in high school, I don't think that was the
not
case.
Not at all. Not at all. You will get made fun of pretty severely, but
yeah
so like everybody kind of just had their pants kind of low, and it's just what it was, you know. So
yeah.
having Carl Lewis come up to you and say that, it was devastating for me personally, because I was
yeah.
a big fan.
You'd never be fast if you got your pants like that. Oh no,
come on Carl, no
Carl, please
give me something, man. Like, it hurt me to my core. And I mean, since that day, I think my pants have been pretty much at my waist, or at least a little bit lower. But this has been one that I've just wanted to know just fully, like what it was, like where it came from. I'm
yeah.
just generally curious about it. This is me not even coming with my own conspiracy theory, but just
sure.
like asking you as a conspiracy theory expert, please
expert.
Guide me on this sagging journey.
I don't know that I could ever qualify as an expert. I think I'm a person who enjoys mayhem.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I do enough research to stir up a negative version of the conversation that we otherwise could have resolved.
Yeah.
Like, we could have been working towards solutions, but right. I was like, nah, if I read the rest of this article, that's going to make me feel whole, and I don't need that shit.
Right, in the fucking Robert Frost poem, you went the road less traveled, you know, it's just like, I want to go
exactly.
down. Where's the chaos over there, you know?
Where's that chaos? Well, okay, so Carl Lewis told you to pull your damn pants up.
Yes, he did.
What is your reaction in this moment? Do you immediately pull it up? Do you get defiant? What do you do?
I think you just cry. Like, you ended up. It was just, you pull them up. You pull them up, and then you feel embarrassed. Like, especially if that's like the only thing a celebrity has said to you, or like somebody that you looked up to or look up to at that point in time, you're just like, yeah, this is true. It immediately made it true for me, because this isn't like a family member that you could go back and like research. Oh, here is why they probably think this, or like, there's no way that this person thinks this at all. For it to get, you know, qualified by somebody who has several gold medals, that just makes it tried and true for you, for sure.
Yeah. And it's a fucked up thing that celebrity does to us, because celebrities, he was good at running.
Yes.
Carl Lewis was a great runner.
Right.
That's about it. This nigga don't know nothing about fashion.
He don't know.
He doesn't know what trends are happening in your high school.
Yeah.
But he, as a great runner, a man with gold medals, now gets to dictate to you, a child, how you should be wearing your clothes at the threat of being raped.
Yes, exactly. Like, because that's essentially where it all comes from, is that everybody is just so afraid of rape in jail that they're just like making up all the different ways to avoid it. He's like, don't drop the soap, you know, don't wear your pants underneath your butt, because that's like a way in, or all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then that just comes out to, you know, the real world or whatever, and grows these weird roots and turns into these weird conspiracies.
And it's even more complicated in that the threat is rape, but it also is being presented under the guise of consent, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So it is men consenting to pull down their pants as a signal of wanting butt sex or sex in jail, while simultaneously threatening everyone else with rape.
Yeah.
Which is like this confused metaphor that only a bunch of homophobes could have come up with.
So I also think that like the Aryan Brotherhood came up with this.
Okay. Like, wait a minute. Hold on a goddamn minute, Garrett. Wait. Jesus. Hold on.
Yeah.
Now I feel like you're about to get into something wild.
Yeah.
Something devastating. Something that I had never heard. I've never heard anyone say this before.
100%.
But I'm genuinely curious about this. So what I'm going to do is give you 30 seconds. We're going to go into a game I like to call Talk That Talk. And I'm going to give you 30 seconds to talk your talk about why the Aryan Brotherhood may have come up with this theory about sagging.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Talk that talk, Garrett.
All right, so I think that the Aryan Brotherhood came up with this shit because they see all these black dudes coming in and they're just like sagging their pants, looking dope as fuck at all times, got the scrunch at the bottom, and they're like, nah, these niggas are corny. They gotta be corny. We gotta come up with some reason to have them be corny. So let's just say that the only reason why they're sagging their pants is because they're probably gay, their butt is out, they wanna get fucked, and that's it. We gotta demasculate the black man somehow. So let's just say the thing that they think is cool is corny as shit, and it's just gonna make its way to the streets, and it's gonna, you know, run rampant.
Damn. Damn, there it is. There it is. Talk that talk.
Y'all call motherfucking bars, nigga. You know nothing about that.
Oh, man, that's deep.
Yeah,
wow,
yeah.
So this was like not only some prison rivalry shit
100%.
where you're creating a narrative about your enemies, but it also functions on an even higher racial level.
Yes.
We are going to introduce the premise that all black men coming into this hyper-masculine space are less masculine than they theoretically would be or should be, kind of thing.
Right. You look at any, like, hulking dude, and I do that often. It's just what I do, and I just try. I try to think of all the reasons why I am not that, or like why I am at least on par with this person. And you come up with silly shit all the time. Yeah. And like, it's just like, oh man, look at this nigga's shoes. His shoes are bad. He got little calves. Is he? Look at his, look at how small his ankles are. You know, and it's just like, it's something silly.
Yeah.
To thwart the fact that this nigga at any day can talk to your girlfriend and you can't do shit about it.
Absolutely.
You know? And he'll beat the fuck out of you. You know,
the amount of times that I've picked apart another man for the sake of comforting myself in my own insecurities. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, ugh, I'm not okay with me, so I'm gonna make this dude somehow less himself.
Right.
Because my shit ain't popping. Oh, I do it all the time.
All the time. Just let niggas be dark skinned, man. Like that we like we just dark.
Oh no, you know my secret. I've been trying to keep y'all from being dark skinned this whole time.
Throwing bleach in niggas' faces.
Get your black ass out of here, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I love this. So I do think at the essence of what we're saying, whether it is the work of the Aryan Nation or just our own self-hatred, what it is fear.
It's fear.
The root of this is a lot of people being afraid of a new threat or a change in their world and subsequently trying to find a way to protect themselves against that. And the only way they could come up with is to be like, that's gay.
Yeah, 100%. It's as easy as that, honestly. Everybody has always said it. It's literally the easiest punchline is like something like, that's gay. It's lazy, it's corny, all of that stuff. But me saying that you are less of a man is the only real way to hurt you.
And that to me is, I think, where I learned. Because I think, you know, having grown up in the early 2000s, I am not exempt from having made gay people the punchline of many of my jokes at a certain point in my life. And I think that to me was when I really sort of had the breakthrough. And it's a shame it wasn't a breakthrough on sort of recognizing my own sort of dehumanizing of another person. But I do think the breakthrough in a lot of ways was gay people being like, hey, bro, I've heard that joke before.
Right.
And me being like, oh, damn, I don't want to be a hack.
Yeah, I don't want to be hacky. Like, imagine having, like, comedian ideals in high school. And he's like, fuck, man, that's hack. People been saying that.
You don't think I'm funny, dog? Yeah,
man. Damn, that hurts, bro. I've been writing this material for years, and nobody told me this has been hacked.
I got like 8 pages that end with just, that's gay at the end of it.
Right,
oh,
right.
No.
So you telling me that saying something is gay is hack, but okay, but I can pretend to do my mom's accent, right? Like, that's not that's cool, right? Nah, dog. Like,
I can still I can still compare black people to white people and say how we different, but that's okay, right?
That's okay. It's like, no, that's a little hack. But like, also there is the other aspect that gay black men are some of the funniest people on the planet.
Hilarious.
I always equate like black man to gay black man is equal to Goku to Super Saiyan 3 Goku. Like, it's just a better nigga. Like, they're just funnier at it. They're at it. And so for a funny, like, probably always the funniest person in the room coming up to you saying like, oh, yo, those gay jokes, they're not funny. It's like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
Like,
all right.
So I'll look past my biases and write some new jokes. And like,
and that's the thing. It really forced me to reflect on why I thought it was funny in the first place, because it wasn't coming from a place of hatred. I don't think I've ever looked at any group of people and been like, I genuinely despise you or what you represent.
Right.
But jokes are jokes. And if you can get a laugh, you can get a laugh. But like you said, having the funniest motherfucker come up to you and be like, that shit ain't funny.
That shit ain't funny, man.
I'm not charismatic enough to work my way through that.
Right. And they'll fire your ass up too. Being read by a gay black dude is devastating. It'll
devastating.
And that's why I think Carl Lewis, who I feel is so bad, is Carl Lewis secretly gay and he won't tell nobody.
You're gay, Carl Lewis, gay, and you hurt Garrick, and you need to come out and apologize to Garrick, and he'll pull his pants up and we'll be even.
It will be even.
All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be back with more My Mama Told Me and more Garrick Bernard. And we are back.
You got what I need. China.
Yeah, we're back here with more Garrick Bernard. More My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about sagging pants and these sort of cooked in homophobia that led so many of us to believe that by having our butt crack showing, we were in fact flagging our homosexuality for the world. At what point did you stop sagging? Was that Carl Lewis moment the exact moment that you were like, oh, I can't do this no more?
Yeah, it was Carl Lewis's moment. It was like, you know, you try to run from getting jumped and you trip every now and again. It happens. Yeah. This was like also during the time when people would like put their jeans underneath like their chucks somehow. Like the length was a little too long, you know?
Right.
So you have to like cut the bottoms or whatever. But I think that's what it was. It was like before the tapered bottoms and before all of that stuff, it just felt weird to sag for me. And I've always been an obedient type, you know, like I like rules. I follow the rules all the time, you know? And
sure.
I was just like, all right, cool, man. Like this is the second adult or second group of adults that have told me to put my pants on my waist. So I was like, all right, I'll just do it.
Yeah.
You know, you're also, who knows what the real world is like? These are people coming through and saying like, oh, this is, you'll seem less respectable if you have your pants below your waist and all of this stuff.
I think similar to, and it's not exactly what you're saying, but I think that at a certain point I did start to recognize that what I thought was cool had no functionality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That like I was sagging my pants because it made me feel closer to my peers or made me look like what I thought was like a cool image out in the world.
Yeah.
But then it was like, hey man, this is not good to walk. Like it's not easy to walk this way and it like sit.
Okay. So I remember running track, you go to like a chiropractor every now and again and my pants were low or whatever. And he was like, yo, you realize that this is like fucking up your hip flexors or whatever that is.
Yeah.
So like, because you have to keep your hip in a certain way in order to do that. So it throws off your running when you're running down or whatever. It'll make your feet flare and make you like duck footed a little bit.
Yeah.
So, and it'll make them really tight and all that stuff. So that was another reason.
This is starting to, okay. Now this is starting to scare me a little bit and I'll tell you why. Because it's starting to make me think that maybe sagging was introduced in some sort of intentional way to ruin a collective, like the collective hip flexors of all black men, so that we were less limber and less capable than we previously
were. We couldn't access the quick twitch as well.
Yeah, exactly. you know, we got these thick slave legs, and they're like, how can we slow these niggers down?
Yeah.
We got to introduce a fashion where they tie belts around their thighs to keep them
from running so quickly. this is again, the cops are just like, they keep on getting away from us. We got to figure something out, man. What if we somehow put like a rope around their legs?
I'm not saying a rope. I'm not saying a rope. Let's say a belt.
Maybe a rope adjacent or something.
Oh, man. Okay, let's get into some of this research.
Let's do it.
One of the things that I quickly discovered is that sagging, as we are referring to it, also in relation to this sort of jail premise, this prison premise, had other names. And one of the things that I read, it was at certain points called, is jailing. That like if you were sagging your pants, a slang for that was jailing, which I had never heard and kind of feels like white people made that one up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's a little too on the nose. Niggas are clever. Black people are clever. They're gonna have another word for it, not just literal term. Jailing. That doesn't. All right.
And to your point, the way it's written, it's like J-A-I-L-I-N apostrophe, and that feels like you know, like a white marketing team sat down and was like, you know, they don't pronounce their G's.
Yeah, well, right. This is very much like a Black's rule on my garage term for sure.
Exactly. So the other term that I heard or read rather that feels much more like Black people came up with it is PBS or prison bitch syndrome.
Not public broadcast service.
Nope. Prison bitch syndrome. you know, that syndrome you get when you expose your butt crack to another man in prison. And I love that so much. So one of the things that I quickly found in my research is that the theory that this is a sort of flagging of your homosexuality in prison is completely false. Okay. There's no evidence that this was in any way a trend within the jail system. To your earlier point, the issue of taking people's belts away and taking people's shoelaces away and anything that would have been used to tie up your clothing was one of the major sort of starting points for where sagging, at least in theory, was born. Gotcha. Right? That like you take somebody's belt away and then you hand a regular size dude a triple X size jumpsuit.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be falling off of his body. And then he naturally is going to try to figure out a way to look cool despite the fact that his clothes don't fit.
Through adversity, niggas will always be cool.
Like, you gotta shine.
At any time, doesn't matter. It raised like the phoenix you are. I get it. I fucking get it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that it immediately made me think about is how sort of wild it is that we immediately jump to weaponizing sagging against kids and against young people as like this dangerous, ugly thing and completely ignore the fact that the entire thing was born out of limited resources and fucked up circumstances that we put people in when they go to prison.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We're not talking about the fact that these people are a small person is being given oversized clothes and no chance of wearing the clothes properly. We're just like, hey, you gay as hell, dog.
Right. You're just like, just get me better fitting clothes. That would be nice. I'm funneling so much money into this place. Why can't I get better clothes? You know, it's, I don't know. It feels weirdly like a punishment that they always do, that they can always justify and say, like, oh, we can give them shitty food all the time, like food with maggots in them. We can have them in chain gangs. We can do solitary confinement because we are punishing these people. Yep. But they're still, like, people. At the end of the day, what are you really trying to do? What does this teach anybody other than the fact that I don't trust belts? Belts don't hold my pants up. So I'm just going to, you know, hold them up by my, you know, with my arm or something like that.
Exactly. It's this ugly sort of manipulation where you claim like, oh, you couldn't handle belts. You're not a decent enough, reasonable enough person to handle having your shoestrings in there, and then shame the person after you take their shit away that otherwise would keep their clothing in place.
Yeah, it's yet another trap. You didn't give me belts, so now I'm gay? Like, so now it has anything to do with my sexuality? That doesn't make it easy. It doesn't track for me. It's
exactly.
Yeah.
So here's where it gets even more complicated, is because of this trend, and this again is all theory, but because of this trend, rappers pick it up, right?
Yeah. Right.
And it becomes sort of like a cool way of signaling that like you're a person from the streets or you know the streets,
right,
is by sagging your pants.
Yeah, you've been
your iced teas, your fucking two shorts. They all start sagging in the early 90s as a way of being like, I'm part of this culture that, you know, lets the listeners know, which is how it becomes popularized in urban America, if you will.
And you know what? I want to say that it could have been like this really nice, beautiful moment where it's just like, yo, Pookie's coming home, blah, blah, blah. You have your coming home party and it's nice. He comes home, pants are sagging. He doesn't like normal fitting jeans anymore, right?
Everybody and pull your pants down.
Everybody
for your
pull
brother.
Your pants down.
He coming home.
He coming home. Everybody pull your pants down for Pookie. He's feeling weird about this, all this stuff. And then everybody is like, let's just do a year of pants sagging for Pookie.
I love the idea of them doing a walk. They organize a 10K where they walk in circles with sagging pants in his honor. I love that so much.
And Pookie's like there. He's sitting on the sidelines crying because he's devastated. That's the other thing. Jail destroys a person.
Yes.
He is devastated. He's sad. He doesn't know like, if he can have a belt or not. He's asking his mom, can he go outside again? Like, as a 25-year-old man. And we're just like, yo, we just need to comfort this man. And Too Short took it upon himself to make it cool.
Like a goddamn hero. Like he was hero like, he swooped in and he said, hey, man, y'all are going through some shit.
Right.
They're treating you poorly. They're giving you no resources to be human beings. They're treating you like animals.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to show a little bit of allegiance and shine like you in my videos. And instead, a bunch of people, and this is where the complication sort of becomes even more complicated, turned it into a signal of gang violence and danger in the black community. Because they're afraid of what Too Short sagging in allegiance with his brother or friends or whoever represented.
It always stems back to that stuff. They always try to bring it back to, oh, this person. I don't think most people who have been to jail come out and are just like, nah, I wanna go back to the streets. They don't want, they have to. They might have to. They might have to provide or something like that. But I don't think they really like just, this is just what I do. I love being poor and shooting niggas in the leg. Yeah. Nobody really wants to do that. You know, like, so for you to just equate it back to gang violence rather than like digging deep on this situation is just such a troubling thing. Like, it's
being mad at the pants and not being mad at what the pants represent or what the essence of where this culture sort of was born.
Two punchlines deep, you realize, oh, they don't have pants that fit in jail. That's why, because we're not, they're treating them incorrectly. You know, they're being pieces of shit to them.
Like, exactly.
They're not giving them their basic human needs. So
one of the things that I found that I think ties into this very well is that the journey of sagging pants and baggy clothes actually follows a very similar trajectory to that of the Zoot suit. You know, the Zoot suit of old fashioned.
The mask and all that.
The big old Steve Harvey joints.
He tried to bring that back so hard. And we're just like, Steve.
Cut it out, Steve.
You got that mustache, man. I can't take you seriously.
Shoulders ain't supposed to be that big, Steve. You gotta relax, man.
But, you know.
So the Zoot suit apparently was similarly born from a type of limited resources that in the 1930s, black and brown people made it popular. Mexican people and black people in America made it popular because they started putting on these oversized suits.
Yeah.
And some people speculated that the reason their suits were oversized was because they didn't have the resources to go get them tailored like other white people were getting them tailored. So it became kind of a style, right? And this is a style that's similar to sagging pants, people treated like it was like hoodlum shit.
Right.
They would basically associate anybody in an oversized suit with being a gangster or being like a bad person in society, much like they did later with dashikis and afros in the 60s and 70s.
Got you. So it is always just like, oh, what are niggas doing? Are they wearing big pants? Oh, that's bad. That's bad. Bad look. Oh, I don't like it. I don't like it. There's something wrong with that one.
Because that's exactly right. And that's how they get
you.
That's how they get you. I like, even thinking back, the only time I can remember a Zoot suit is somebody having a Tommy gun attached, like somebody like shooting at a fucking moving car or something like that. That's another weird thing is that it's always a white person doing it.
Boom. Now you're talking that talk, Garrett.
Yeah, it's always
Come on, man.
The third eye is a little crusty, but it's open. Yeah,
open that motherfucker up.
A little sleep on it, a little bit. But it's always a white gangster doing it, and yet it's always equated to black or brown bad behavior.
And so that's the essence of the danger of the way that white capitalism manipulates things, right?
Yeah.
Is that not only do you demonize us, us black and brown people wearing these clothes. Right. But then you manipulate it enough so that you can use it for popular culture so that you can create a film where a white gangster wears a big suit and shoots a Tommy gun and you gain money off of those resources. You gain popularity from this imagery while simultaneously keeping that image connected to poor people who otherwise are only doing it because this is all they had.
Exactly. At the end of the day, everybody just loves to watch like a good juxtaposition, right? They're just like, oh, if I saw Machine Gun Kelly sagging his pants and with hella tattoos, just like, man, this is interesting. I'm gonna listen to his music. I like the way he raps. He's a good rapper. And he's like, he's fine. Anyway, but like
your point, I think you wanna know his origin story.
Right.
You wanna know how Machine Gun Kelly ended up that way. And because of the way that they've manipulated the imagery and associations in America, we're less interested in finding out how the black version of Machine Gun Kelly got the way that he is, even though they probably have equally interesting journeys.
Could you just be yourself for a second?
Yes.
I would truly love it and appreciate it because I know that there was no type of adversity that caused you to sag your pants or wear a big suit or anything like that. You can afford a tailor. You can afford a belt. So where are we going? What are we doing? What made you choose that outside of the fact that you saw a cool black person doing it?
Exactly. Where did this actually matter to you? Where are you actually committed to this culture in a real necessary way?
Right.
So here's where it gets even more fascinating is I actually dug up a bunch of times throughout recent history where sagging was actual laws were sort of created against sagging.
Yeah.
People were actively trying to send people to jail or criminalize sagging in a way that was punishable. So, first example, in May 2004, Louisiana lawmakers attempted passing a bill 1626, which basically made it a crime to wear clothing in public that intentionally exposes undergarments or intentionally exposes any portion of the pubic hair, cleft of the buttocks, or genitals.
All right.
Take your time. Read through it.
Okay, so is this before or I don't know. Is this before or after?
It's Portland? After the millennium.
It's after the millennium. We have established that it is after the millennium. But is this before or after the abolishment of Portland being a sundown town? Or like just no black people being allowed in Oregon? Because there are so many of those institutions or what have you that are just overlooked that nobody cares. Nobody cares about what white people are doing and how they're fucked up or anything like that. They've been Lovecraft country in us in Portland since it had to have been since like it was like a really early time.
I think to the greater point, there's a bunch of like weird laws that get introduced that couldn't possibly be reasonable laws, but because you guys are in charge, you get to make them seem reasonable.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You get to, like, for another example, in 2005, Virginia House delegates basically created a thing called Droopy Drawers Bill, where it was a $50 fine for people who wore anything that was considered lewd or indecent. And that, again, is subjective. As far as lewd and indecent, it's completely up for grabs. Another example, in 2016, in Ocala, Florida, they successfully pushed to prohibit the style of city-owned property and were offering, like, basically charging people a $500 fine or 6 months in jail if they got caught wearing the wrong type of clothes. 6 months in prison.
6 months in jail.
Yes.
So we're going back to where it started so I can come back out with another thing that you're just going to fuck me over with. Because you're not doing your job with like clothing people correctly in prison.
You take my resources away.
Right.
You create a culture that allows me to mimic my stolen resources as a way of at least feeling whole as a person. And then you make feeling whole as a person for me punishable by taking away the only other resource I have, which is money and freedom.
Yeah. Fucking. Oh, my God. I am trying to like come up with points or anything like that, but it's just so baffling, or like,
yeah,
it's just so crazy to fucking watch the like the cycle continue and like just hear it so plainly laid out.
Yeah,
because, you know, again, I didn't know what were the like deep confines of sagging, like where it came from and all that stuff, but, you know, just having it laid out so plainly is devastating.
It hurts your feelings.
Sure.
Yeah,
it hurts your feelings.
It don't help you sleep. Here's my personal favorite, and this one actually did make me laugh out loud. In Pikeville, Tennessee in 2014, officials basically created something or started, they were trying to create one of these laws the same way, and they claimed that sagging was leading to a larger health crisis related to improper gait of the saggers, meaning like they were walking different. Because of having sagged, and it was ruining their bodies. The mayor even pointed to a study from a dude named Mark Oliver Mansbach of the National American Medical Association that supposedly found out that 8 in 10 saggers suffered from sexual problems like premature ejaculation.
How? This is the Aryan Brotherhood shit, bro. This is it. There it is. Now we're back to it. It's just like, I mean, it's got to be doing something, because something sexual, because
there
we
got
to demasculate the black man. At
and
the end
that's
of the
day.
Thing.
To your point, it's okay. We tried to call them gay. Gay didn't work. Now they're starting to recognize that gay isn't a bad thing, or it isn't as scary as we tried to make it out to be. But you know what? We can tell them the dick's gonna stop working. And if they believe
it's gonna leak. he's gonna have a leaky dick. That's it.
You gonna come too fast in the bitch, and she ain't gonna fuck you no more.
Right.
So
what you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
Maybe like, pull your pants up, nigga. I don't know.
The improper gait is also like what I was talking about, like the duck footing or whatever. It's like that stuff goes away after like a good couple like stretches.
Yeah,
you stretch for a little bit.
Touch your toes a few times, you'll be all right.
You're good to go. Like, but you saying I am going to be prematurely ejaculated. It's just the wildest shit. It's just like, oh my god, you couldn't think of anything better.
Nah.
Where is that jump? Like, what are they saying? Are they saying that it's like cutting off blood flow?
Oh no. To be clear, it later was discovered that the person and the study do not exist, and the mayor was just repeating shit he read on the internet. So it ain't cutting off shit. There was no information about it. He was just like, hey, I heard 8 in 10 of y'all come too fast, and then tried to insert a fine afterwards.
Based off of it, this is why old people shouldn't be allowed on the internet at all. You shouldn't you shouldn't be able to have infinite knowledge.
I think to the greater point of all of this, old people shouldn't be allowed to dictate shit in the world.
At all. You shouldn't be able to tell me anything because you haven't lived in the real world for a while. Like, it's going back to, you know, you telling kids that they shouldn't sag their pants or what have you because you haven't reached the real world. You have been so far removed from what society actually is once you reach, like, let me say 60 or something. let me just throw that age out there. You don't know anything anymore.
No, and so just chill. Just shut the fuck up.
Just chill. Go play your little fucking bedazzle game on Facebook. Like,
play that game. Play that game where you try to get the ball into the cup over and over again. Go play that and
just
leave kids alone.
Leave me alone. Go stare out some windows or something.
Old people, if you're listening, just shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And we'll take another break, and I hope you shut the fuck up the whole time and listen to the commercials, and we'll be back with more Garrick Bernard and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a dream that you want him to do you so
Woo,
much?
We're back here with more Garrick Bernard, more My Mama Told Me. It's the longest drop I have, and I love it so much.
It keeps going. It just cannot stop.
That nigga's spitting, and I love it. We're still talking about sagging pants and the possible just sort of like elderly white tyranny cooked underneath all of the media, the marketing around sagging pants.
Yep.
Okay. One of the most famous people, I would say, most iconic figures, infamous figures at this point, who ever weighed in on sagging pants. And there have been a few. Barack Obama had a quote about it where he basically said, look, I don't think people should go to jail for it, but like your grandma's watching, pull up your pants. Steve Harvey said some shit under his mustache about it. Bill Engvall weighed in on sagging pants where he, said something pretty racist, although it was under the mask of a joke. So I guess it was okay. Who knows? But the most infamous of them is Bill Cosby, the Cos. And he became infamous in his thoughts on sagging pants when he gave a speech that is now known as the pound cake speech, where he basically goes on a long rant, long run about what black people need to do to better themselves in their own communities. And so what I would like to do is play a game with you. This is a brand new game called I Don't Think Bill Cosby Is As Good As He Claims He Is.
No, don't do the dance. You can't dance to this. And you got to say still face. She's like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just nope. The game. That shit still slaps. And I don't care if he did what he did. Okay. Right. So what I'm going to do with you, what I think we should do, is I'm going to read you some snippets from this famous speech. And I just would love for you to unpack your thoughts on it as we go along. Things you're loving, things you're hating, things you're uncomfortable with, things that maybe were a clear identifier that Bill Cosby was, in fact, the monster that we now know him to be much earlier.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll get us started. Ladies and gentlemen, the lower economic and lower middle class economic people are holding their end in this deal. In the neighborhood that most of us grew up in, parenting is not going on. People clapped. In the old days, you couldn't hooky school because every drawn shade was an eye. And before your mother got off the bus and to the house, she knew exactly where you had gone, who had gone into the house, and where you got on whatever you had on and where you got it from. Parents don't know that today.
I'm sorry, but parents do know not to put fucking opioids in people's drinks. You silly bitch. Like, how dare you? Parenting is not going on. I think that was the first thing my mom told me before the sagging. She was like, hey, if you see a young lady at a club, don't put anything in a drink. Because that is weird. You're a weirdo for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's fair. So Bill Cosby clearly did not have that part of the talk, but he did have the part of the talk where he was like, you got to stare out your window at kids and know where they're going at all times.
No, you don't. They're fine.
Okay, let's keep this party going.
Let's go.
I'm talking about these people who cry when their son is standing there in an orange suit. Where were you when he was 2? People clap. Where were you when he was 12? People really clap. Where were you when he was 18? And how come you don't know he had a pistol? Clapping, clapping, clapping. And where is his father? And why don't you know where he is? And why doesn't the father show up to talk to this boy?
Yeah. Nigga, I was at work. I work 3 jobs in order to keep this roof over my head. Dog, whenever people are just like, oh yeah, my mom came to see my play, I'm like, wow, that's congratulations. My mom was at work during the day and then she went to school at night. So I think I would see her every now and again. Like my dad.
I love that. Your mom was just a hardworking roommate.
She was just a hardworking roommate. Like I would see her, sure, but she would be like in a room or something like that, and you would knock on the door, like, "Mom, you okay? Get away! I'm studying for this board, you know,
please.
This bar exam.
I can't have my eyes open yet. I work too hard."
Right, right, and like at a 2-parent household or whatever. So fuck you, Bill Cosby.
Right,
and I still sag. Until Carl Lewis told me not to, but
like, until a different old black man yelled at me about this.
Right. But he was also working. Like, there are certain things that you just kind of have to let your kid learn and understand and like be independent about. And to Bill Cosby's stupid point, like parenting is short still going on, but there are some gaps because you have to work, because we live in a society where Black people aren't given the best opportunities. So they have to like constantly have jobs at all times. And until we have wealth, then we can like talk about like, oh, I'm here all of the time.
You know? And I think to that grander point, that's the danger of the way that so much of this has been sort of put to us all of these years, is that there is a deep allegiance between me and Bill Cosby because we are both Black, when in fact the difference in our wealth is so vast that we actually have zero to negative shit in common. You know what I mean? Like, we don't actually have anything tied together because you have all that money and I don't.
Yeah.
Our day to day ain't the same. The fact that we're Black is just a technicality, bro.
Yeah, it's truly so. He's so far removed from any type of adversity happening to him. If you were to bring up that the fact that where Zoot Suits came from, he would give you the response, why didn't those niggas get their pants tailored?
Exactly.
It's just like, you're missing the entire point, Mr. Fucking Dumb Sweater. Like, what are you doing?
All right, now you got him. I don't know.
You goofy sweater bitch. Like, leave me alone. I can't afford a tailor. Were you not listening to me this entire time?
Okay, I'm going to hit you with one more quote. This one's, I think, maybe my favorite. There are a bunch of really wild ones where he accuses women of having 6 or 7 babies by 6 or 7 baby daddies. And it's a lot of wild shit, but this is my favorite. He says, "Are you not paying attention? People with their hat on backwards, pants down around the crack. Isn't that a sign of something? Or are you waiting for Jesus to pull his pants up?" Laughing and clapping. "Isn't it a sign of something when she's got her dress all the way up to the crack and got all kinds of needles and things going through her body? What part of Africa did this come from?" Laughter. "We are not Africans. Those people are not Africans. They don't know a damn thing about Africa, with names like Shaniqua, Shaliqua, Muhammad, and all that crap, and all of them are in jail."
Did he just break into the DMX song? He just... Shaliqua, Nicole,
Tammy, Kim.
Oh my God. But he's doing the same thing that any rich old white person would say.
Yep.
It's just pretty much equating the Black experience is something that he saw on TV.
100%.
I have never seen several needles in anybody's arm. I don't even think niggas do crystal meth like that. Like, you're out of
but
your
also,
fucking mind.
Also, if I am shooting up, I ain't doing multiple needles at once. I'm focusing on my sweet heroin, and then I'll get to whatever else I want to try.
Right, it's one needle. What the hell is wrong with you? You know, like, and then I haven't met a Shaniqua. Like, I have.
I have. But that's beyond the point. And Shaniqua shouldn't be shamed because her name is Shaniqua.
Shouldn't.
There's nothing wrong with the name Shaniqua. The only reason we treat a Shaniqua as a bad name is because people like Bill Cosby tried to trick us into thinking that that was somehow anti-Black, when in fact it's just, all right, niggas be making up stuff.
They just
good
make
for
up
them.
Names. What does that have to do with how smart Shaniqua is? Why does Shaniqua have to be equated with having 6 kids at once? Like, that.
Yeah.
None of that matters, dog. Like,
my absolute favorite part of this, and this is, I think, something that is probably the most telling and most ignorant thing that he said in all of this, was he goes on this run about how these names aren't African, and one of the names that he lists is Muhammad. As if the most common name entire world, and especially in the Muslim world, which dominates massive parts of the African continent, is somehow anti-African. It's fucking nuts.
He's not reading anymore, man. He's not reading books. He's not paying attention to the world, because he goes, he shoots his show, and then he comes home and puts shits in people's drink. Like, that's...
He was too focused on side pussy, and he stopped listening to, like you said, he stopped reading books, and his eye got bad. He probably had trouble reading after a while, and there it is.
Right. You know what? I think that now that he's in jail, he's like starting to see, like, he's like, oh man, maybe sagging isn't all bad. Like, right? Like, this shit look kind of cool.
Hey. Tyreek, show me how you did that.
How you do that, man? Like, that look kind of nice. He's like, hey, you're not gay at all. He's like, no, actually, I have a degree in philosophy. You're Mr. Cosby. It's like, so you just been in here reading. And it's like, and you sag your pants. Yes, sir, I do.
Man.
It's because they don't get belts in here. I'm a 32 and I get a double XL. So it is what it is. Man, I didn't even think about that. And that's how jail corrects people, honestly, not through pants sagging, not through making license plate. It's just you having time to sit with yourself and think about it.
Yeah.
You know?
But. Hell yeah. All right. This was fun. I think we had a good time. I think we effectively did the thing.
Yeah.
Garrett, can you tell the people where they can find you, what cool shit you have going on?
I'm just Garrick Bernard, Instagram, and on Twitter, Garrick Was Taken. You can find me writing for Solar Opposites and Lower Decks, man. Solar Opposites Season 2 should be coming out in like a couple months.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's being animated right now. You're in it.
Yeah, I did a little part. I show up in that motherfucker.
You show up a couple times. It's great. It's great.
And they're both phenomenal shows, so please go and watch them. I love them both. They're so funny, and Garrick, you know, did an amazing job writing for them. And as always, you can follow me at Langston Kerman on all of the apps, the Twitter and the Instagram. And hey, if you have your own, like, drops or conspiracy theories or things that you feel I should know about, please send us emails. We would love to hear from you, and you can send emails or voice memos. We would love to even hear your voices, which we could potentially play on the podcast. Send us your emails at mymamapod@gmail.com. That's mymama, MOMMA, pod@gmail.com. Okay, I've done enough. I refuse to do more. Bye.